This is May Brussel. It is tape number 857, May the 9th, 1988. I was going to continue part three on that very important article that was in Barron's. I was going to do that today. The article titled Rogue Justice, Who and What Were Behind the Vendetta Against INSLAW, INSLAW. Last week and the week before, I did part one and two, and they're very significant meanings to this article throughout the middle and the end. I've just covered a little bit, but I do want to get on to the subject of the week that will be going on for quite a while, but just touch upon it at this time, which is the astrology and the influence upon Nancy Reagan and her husband and the political implications of this matter, because this is very much in the news at the present time. I told you listeners of World Watchers for a long, long period, save your money, because as soon as Reagan is out of office, and I didn't believe it would happen so quickly while he's in office, there will be many, many books for years to come about this very odd, weird couple known as Nancy and Ronald Reagan. This is the show and tell time, and the usual broadcasters are confused on why these books are coming out now and not when they leave office, from their very closest friends and closest advisors. And of course, they want to be on the run and separate themselves when the feces spreads around, and there'll be a lot to hit many, many fans that are blowing right now in the wind. There's a new book out by Michael Deaver, who has been convicted of crimes of influence peddling in the White House. He was like a son to Ronald Reagan. Larry Speaks has his controversial book out, and Don Reagan now has his book out. And, of course, on the weekend you heard the commentators, if you listened, saying, why do they have this vendetta? And a few brave ones would say, but their children are writing books also. That Patty Davis wrote a book, and Michael Reagan wrote a book, and there's another book to come that is very important, and you've probably read about it. For those of you who haven't, I'll remind you of this character. The story of this book coming out is Washington Times, April 26, 1988, called More to Come. In the wake of Larry Speaks' book, the White House is waiting for two other heavy shoes to drop, and one dropped this week. President Reagan's one-time personal secretary, Helene Von Daum, and his former chief of staff, Donald Reagan, are on the verge of publishing their ghost-written books, and there will be material and bombshells, especially about Mrs. Reagan. The First Lady had a hand in getting both of these people fired, and both are said to be hell-bent on getting even. Mrs. Von Daum was the president's secretary back in his days in California as governor. And keep in mind, I've done many broadcasts on Helene Von Daum. When the article says secretary, they don't mean a woman that took stenography and made appointments and told him who was on the telephone and called back. She made appointments not for the dentist and the doctor, those kind of appointments. She made cabinet position appointments. She made appointments that determined our future of this country. And they were very influential decision-making matters that she had no expertise in handling at all. And this accounts partly for the very political and horrendous appointments of the Reagan administration. But the article said she went back to California. She worked back in those days, in the early days in California under the governor, and then went into the White House, and then became White House personnel director. That's where she was hiring again in Washington. And finally, ambassador to her native Austria. She reportedly was replaced, at least partly, by the First Lady's instigation, and continued to raise Mrs. Reagan's ire in Vienna when she again acquired a divorce, this time her fourth husband, and took on a new husband while she was ambassador to Vienna. She married a Viennese citizen while she represented America in Vienna. Mrs. Von Daum's new mate was running the world-famous Sacher Hotel at Vienna. His family owns it. And according to Nancy Reagan, this is an in-trade job, as the British say. This isn't considered high society by the aristocratic set in Austria. Well, I really am not familiar with the fact that Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan are aristocrats by any way, shape, or form. They come from very, very common people and common families. So their ideas of grandeur or the imperial presidency come down that they should have an aristocrat as the ambassador. There certainly weren't aristocrats around the administration, any appointment that they made, but this was the excuse for her not liking the new husband. Mr. Reagan eased out with a push from the First Lady. He was able to push her out and there was a lot of scene stealing at the White House and so forth. So the Don Regan book is coming out, and the Von Dom book is coming out this week. Von Dom will come out later. And according to this story, both the Von Dom and Regan books may make Larry Speaks Kiss and Tell Chronicle seem like the gentle stories around Mother Goose. And I want to get back again and refresh your memory, and some of you know very well the Nazi connections to Helene Von Dom, and the Nazi connections in Hollywood and the astrology there is what I want to talk about. I'll get back to Von Dom later, but this was an article saying that the next one to get her book out will be Helene, and I understand in that book she suggests that she was Reagan's mistress and that Nancy was very jealous, or thought she was and was very jealous. So the story goes on and on. And, of course, Time Magazine's article and the New York Times stories and the newspapers are filled with the account of Donald Reagan's books, former White House Chief of Staff, and how he tells that Ronald Reagan was hesitant, he was unassertive, that he was controlled by a scheming, image-conscious First Lady. Long listeners to World Watchers know that I have had Nancy as a control of Ronald ever since that prearranged, I believe was a prearranged marriage between agents, and that it was useful to both of their purposes, and that she was always in control of Ronald Reagan. Don Reagan says virtually every major move and decision the Reagans made during my time at the White House as Chief of Staff was cleared in advance with a woman in San Francisco who drew up horoscopes and made certain the planets were in favorable alignments. And most of you have seen these stories. They've come over the AP, the UPI, and the work of Joan Quigley, a graduate of Vassar, who's written three books, how she was introduced by Merv Griffin. Mrs. Reagan met Quigley, and she's in consultation with her. And Don Reagan seemed to be very confused when he moved in as former Secretary of the Treasury off of Wall Street to get into the White House scene where disappointed staff people waited around to make appointments while Nancy got on the telephone. And Reagan says that he was kept in the dark about these secrets, that Michael Deaver hinted how to get around it, and he color-coded days of the week when appointments would be possible, and that Mrs. Reagan went every Saturday to Camp David to chat with the soothsayer, etc. I'm sure most of you are following it closely, and that is the big story. Now, simultaneously with this story breaking, just this week, a man died. He was old enough to die. He was 88. He died of cancer. He's old enough to have cancer. But it was just coincidental. We won't be suspicious. We'll call it coincidence. That Carol Ryder, the astrologer and columnist, passed away just the week that this book was coming out. And the scandal, if you call it a scandal, the situation of who advises Nancy and how Nancy passes it on to the chief of staff was just breaking. This book of Don Reagan's been in the process for months, say 3 to 5 months, and the publishers knew that this was about to come out. And at the same time, a man very close to the Reagans and Hollywood, Carol Ryder, passed away. Now, he was a famous astrologer and a columnist, and he also worked with a lot of people in Hollywood, such as Marlene Dietrich and Grace Kelly and Terry Moore, who was formerly married to Howard Hughes. He moved to Hollywood in 1938, and he started his column in 1950. That was the year of the Korean War, when Douglas MacArthur was to make his big scene and his political push, hopefully to become president of the United States. And this is important. In the Korean scene, and the CIA was 3 years old, Ryder moved to Hollywood. And I met Ryder just a few years ago when I went to Hollywood to try to help Terry Moore write a book about her life with Howard Hughes and in Hollywood. After it was all written, I've mentioned it before on my programs, a family moved in, a man and woman, and took over the book. The woman was supposed to type it. She was a former secretary for Ronald Reagan, and she cut the book into shreds. And when I flew down there to see Terry and do some more on it, her husband sat in the living room with machine gun and guns around a chair, and it was an armed camp. And, of course, that book was cut up. When I met Terry, she said that working with her and helping with her book, we would first see that I went to an astrologer, too. Well, I went to see one. She set the appointment. A very nice lady. It was absolutely amazing. And she lived one block east of Fairfax. I remember the house. I don't remember her name, but somewhere around this house I have tapes. She let me tape record what she said. Terry had to see if we were compatible before we worked together. And while I was down there working with her, we went out to dinner with Carol Reiter and got to know him, and he was to know me, to see if I could work with Terry Moore. And that's the way Hollywood goes. You have your astrologers to see what is going on. We went to a restaurant on Vermont Boulevard owned by an Italian gentleman by the name of Sarnos, who was murdered last year. I believed at the time of his murder that it was a political murder. It was solved, quote, solved by a former employee and a drug arrest, killing him in front of his house for money. But I felt that he was very political, knew a lot of political people, and that restaurant was a mini Casbah of what you could hear or didn't hear. And that's where I was with Terry Moore, at his restaurant, with Mr. Reiter, a nice man, elderly man. Now, the story about Reiter, who works closely with these Hollywood figures, is that he was requested by British intelligence, by the William Stevenson Group, to move to Hollywood from Pennsylvania and to infiltrate the movie colony, because Winston Churchill had a fear that Hollywood was being taken over by the Nazis, that London and Great Britain and the British Empire were in danger. And in 1938, he had moved to Hollywood. And William Stevenson sent out a man named Louis de Wahl, D-E, it's pronounced de Wahl, but it's spelled W-H-L, who came to the United States in 1941. And Reiter was now in Hollywood, and de Wahl went to see him. Now, William Stevenson had set up an astrological movement of a few people in Great Britain. The purpose was to penetrate the Nazis in Germany and penetrate Adolf Hitler. And de Wahl worked not only with Winston Churchill, but he worked along with the astrologer for Adolf Hitler, whose name was Mr. Kraft. Kraft was aiding Adolf Hitler, and it was Winston Churchill and de Wahl who were blocking Hitler. Hitler got the wrong information about the invasion of Normandy, and part of that, most of you know that history if you've read books on Germany. He was ill-advised and got disinformation by the astrologer close to him, who was fed disinformation so that he was not able to stand off the British-American invasion of Normandy. So this writer, the one that moved to Hollywood and died last week and was the astrologer for the stars, was in Germany with Mr. Kraft, the advisor to Adolf Hitler. They either lived together or they went to school together. I'm not sure which it was, but they were very close. Reiter and Kraft were very close, and one was Hitler's astrologer, and de Wahl was the middleman disinforming Hitler's astrologer. Let me just summarize it again, because maybe it's confusing. Kraft was Hitler's astrologer, K-R-A-F-F-T. De Wahl was Winston Churchill's astrologer, who was trying to block Hitler's taking over the world and Great Britain. So de Wahl, who went to school with Kraft, was helping to feed disinformation that got to Hitler. Then during the war, de Wahl came to the United States on the instructions of Winston Churchill to go to Hollywood, which was a hub of Nazis, and he locked up with Carol Reiter, who had moved to Hollywood from Pennsylvania, and he was to advise the heavies in Hollywood on astrology. So this was a very political operation, and they set up an astrological movement of espionage in the intelligence community of astrologers that could influence political events in some ways, and they did, in fact, influence Hitler to the detriment of Hitler. In 1940, Ronald Reagan was co-starring with Errol Flynn. I mentioned that many, many times, and I refer again to the book that Charles Higham did on Errol Flynn and the Nazis and Dr. Urban at the time that Ronald Reagan was working with him. Flynn was a Nazi working with Dr. Urban of the Gestapo. He worked in movies 1940 and 42 with Ronald Reagan, and in between those movies, which didn't take too long in those days, they were traveling around Dr. Urban and Errol Flynn. Now, I won't go into too many pages of the book, Errol Flynn, The Untold Story by Charles Higham, but for those of you who don't have it or know about it, I just want to cite a few pages and quotations of the milieu that Ronald Reagan was working in and with Flynn at the time the British intelligence was worried about Hollywood. Just to cite a few pages, it tells about, on page 136, how Dr. Urban obtained photographs and names of all the German soldiers in Spain fighting for the loyalists. He pretended that he wanted to help the loyalists, and he was really working for Franco and the Nazis, and he took their names during the time of the Spanish Civil War, then sent them to Berlin and delivered them to Gestapo. So when these people disloyal to Hitler, and a definition of disloyal to Hitler is fighting Franco, they eventually would go home, be punished, be put into concentration camps, and murdered. Dr. Urban, as a doctor, went into hospitals and tended the wounded, people that were opposing Franco. Errol Flynn was a world-famous star. He'd visit the stricken men, give them good cheer, and obtain German veterans their names and addresses of families to tell them they had been wounded, sent them to Germany, and sent messages. Meanwhile, they gave their name and address, and photographs were taken for the family, so those people that were fighting Franco were identified to be killed. And Errol Flynn lied to them and said he had brought $500,000 from the loyalists and so forth, and got a commission. It was a cover from Hearst Cosmopolitan magazine and Liberty magazine to write articles on Spain, and Dr. Urban was supposed to be his assigned photographer. And the Hearst connections are important because they play a role with Marion Davies at MGM and Nancy Davis at the same time. And Dr. Lowell Davis was close to Randolph Hearst and McCormick in Chicago and the far, far right fascist element in Chicago. This book on Errol Flynn goes into a lot of details about the Nazi relationship. Another example is page 186. In October 1940, Errol attended a party at the home of Brazilian ambassador. It was full of Nazis, among them George Geisling, consul general in Los Angeles, Fritz Wiedemann, consul general in San Francisco. Federal agents watched Errol Flynn. Now, this is when he's co-starring with Ronald Reagan. During this period, Errol was almost constantly in the company of Fritz Wiedemann. In vain, a local member of the FBI tried to warn his superiors that Errol Flynn was consorting with this person, and that if he were really a loyal British subject, he wouldn't be doing that. And Errol had an intense love affair with a Nazi singer named Gertrude Anderson. And Errol Flynn also got an interest in the supernatural. And during this time, on the same page, he was making a movie, Santa Fe Trail, with Ronald Reagan. On page 210, the FBI failed to follow Urban and Errol Flynn. They went down to Mexico, got into Mexico, were top Nazis in Mexico. Read this book. There's a paperback you can get from Tom Davis at Research. You have the address there, and you can contact me. Most of my subscribers know that resource, and I'll put it on the sheet again for you to obtain these books. And at this time, Dr. Urban was correlating military and Navy intelligence, and 13 months before Pearl Harbor, we had no CIA. The OSS was just to be formed in 1942. Urban, the Gestapo agent, and Errol Flynn were working and giving away secrets and photographs of installations that the Japanese could use to bomb Pearl Harbor. According to Colonel Williamson, one of the leading figures of military intelligence in Asia, under General MacArthur, military intelligence was aware of Errol's connections with Urban from the beginning. And this is important because I'm going into Nancy Davis. And again, I mentioned her father worked with Douglas MacArthur and Charles Willoughby, the intelligence there. And so this time period before Ronald knew Nancy, he was co-starring with Errol Flynn, who was going back and forth with a spy, a German fascist identified by the FBI. And one other page, on page 212, in Mexico City, Urban reported to the General Counsel von Wallenberg at Gestapo headquarters, located in a former convent. Urban connected with the Abwehr, that's the German intelligence, where he was given intensive training at a spy school where he did microdotting, which is putting a word, reducing it to the size of a dot and putting it under a postage stamp. Then he had a forged German passport under the alias of Alois Ecker. As a ship musician, he sailed from Los Angeles in February. Ecker was the name of a friend of his in Vienna. Errol Flynn was in Honolulu as the guest of Captain James Robb of the Pearl Harbor Navy Base, taking films, photographs, and notes. For years, he claimed, a friend of his claimed he didn't know that Errol Flynn was in the Gestapo or working with the Gestapo, but it turned out that Jack Warner and the studio knew about this, and there was opposition to letting them make a film at our Navy base but it was overturned in Washington, and Flynn made a movie, the San Diego Naval Base, called Dive Bomber, and of course this aided Japan. And in the dirt period when he's co-starred with Ronald Reagan in They Died in Their Boots, Errol Flynn was frequently in Mexico. FBI agents trailed him everywhere. He mingled with extraordinary group of expatriates, heads of the Gestapo and Abwehr. By that period, 700 Nazi agents poured into Mexico from United States, Japan, Central America, and Spain. In the book, Covering the Mexican Front, Betty Kirk wrote these agents were preparing for the Axis conquest of Mexico. German was on the streets, cafes, bars, and nightclubs. German drinking songs rang out at cocktail bars. Death to the Jew, death to Roosevelt. Errol Flynn's most frequent visits were the apartments of George Nicholas of the Nazi Party, his associate Hans Hellermann. Errol Flynn and Urban's Gestapo contacts were in Barcelona, and that's important, too, to the Nancy Reagan, Loyal Davis connections. Every effort to bug these homes failed. They were guarded day and night by the Mexican and German police, and Errol Flynn was flying to the Bahamas to meet with Axel Winogran, the owner of Electrolux, who gave approximately $1 billion from Electrolux, and was one of the largest suppliers of ammunition for Adolf Hitler, because Sweden was supposed to be neutral, and he worked through his friend Hermann Göring. So it was in this milieu, when Reagan was working with Dr. Urban, that the British, not specifically just those two people, were very concerned about Hollywood and sent an intelligence agent to work with the astrologers to find out and protect the British Empire. And this team of Mr. Ryder, and the Hollywood milieu of the astrologers were there really to protect the British Empire from being conquered by the Nazis. And that leads to my hypothesis of what's going on with Ronald Reagan and the astrologers and the role that they're playing and have played through this administration. Now, also this past week, in addition to Mr. Ryder dying, William Gale died. He was described in his obituary April 26, just a few days ago, a week ago, as a tax protester, a white supremacist, and also they said he was a retired Army colonel. He served as an aide of General Douglas MacArthur in the Philippines. Now, there has always been a fight in the power structure between the Douglas MacArthur, and that's the John Singlau Group, the Pacific Group, and Charles Willoughby, that person who was chief of intelligence for Douglas MacArthur, to make MacArthur president of the United States. And these people worked with Franco and Hitler and the very far-right fascist element. On the other side, on the East Coast, was the control group of David and Nelson Rockefeller, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, who possibly had the same goals, but don't call it fascism. They call it business, good for business and development, but has actually the same goals. They protected Nazis, brought them to this country, and brought Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig into the political fray. So at one side, there are elements that I call the Pacific fascists that want to control, and the John Birch Society and the Asian lobby that put in Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan came out of the China lobby, the World Anti-Communist League, the milieu of the Asian branch, as opposed to the Eastern branch. That's why those two presidents brought in so many warfare states and military dictatorships. They came from the West Coast. Maybe we're polished off on the East Coast, but there's always been a faction that fights each other. And William Gale was very active with General Douglas MacArthur, and along with Charles Willoughby, and Nancy Davis's father was part of that milieu. So at the time that Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan worked at Warner Brothers for Jack and Harry Warner, it was Harry Warner's son-in-law, Mervyn LeRoy, who introduced Nancy Davis to Ronald Reagan. Doris was Harry Warner's daughter, and they made the match for the two. Nancy Davis at that time was at a different studio under contract at MGM for Louis Mayer. And on other broadcasts, I've touched a lot of this before for you long listeners, but it's important in the terms of what this astrology, how it affected the White House and what the conflicts are with it, with Don Reagan not being able to break through. This woman advising Nancy, I just have to repeat this for new listeners or those of you who don't remember, Ida Koverman, Louis' secretary, was simultaneously at the same time secretary for Herbert Hoover, They were politically active. She was under the care of Ida, as was Marion Davies, the mistress of Randolph Hearst, who worked with Loyal Davis in Chicago, that very far right-wing clique. Now, in the book that Don Freed wrote on the secret life of Ronald Reagan that I've quoted many, many times, he says that Nancy told Ronnie, they started dating, and Nancy told Ronnie about Dr. Loyal and his lifelong battle against socialized medicine of any kind. Dr. Loyal had been in the Far East during the war. He was a friend of General MacArthur and his chief of intelligence, Charles Willoughby. Now, Reverend Gale worked with Charles Willoughby, and chief of intelligence, as I've had on broadcast and written before, is Mr. Carl Wiedenbach. I'll just refresh your memory on that. And back in Chicago, Dr. Loyal Davis was an activist in the anti-communist cause. So Nancy understood Ronnie, and this relationship of Loyal Davis to Willoughby and Reverend Gale and Douglas MacArthur is very important to the attachment of Ronald Reagan to Nancy as his controller in Hollywood. The articles about Reverend Gale go from saying he is mild and couldn't hurt a fly to his very far right racist activities, and I've had some of that on broadcast before. October the 30th, just a year ago, the late Gale, who died last week, was arrested with a group of six people in Nevada on charges of planning murders of federal agents. He was part of an organization now called Committee of the States. It's linked to the Posse Comitatus. He likes to call himself a reverend, and he received notoriety as early as 1983 in Kansas City when he was giving instructions to people on how to kill Jews and blacks and make roadblocks and how to kill them and eventually wipe them all out. In addition to serving on his staff, this Gale, the same person, was an expert in guerrilla warfare. He served in the Army until 1950. 1950 is the period when Otto Skorzeny was working for the CIA in Spain, and when top Nazis were brought to the Middle East to Nazify the Middle East and attack that new country, Israel, that had been created 2 years earlier. So Reverend Gale came to California to set up guerrilla activities, and I believe that the pattern, the SLA as the CIA, is some of the doing and practice of those people for eventually handing terrorism in the United States and creating a lot of confusion and new laws of rounding people up, and I wrote at length about that. In 1984, there was a long article about Reverend Gale, retired lieutenant colonel. We have a lot of these lieutenant colonels with a lot of power, who has a 96-acre plot, and he warned his enemies, "We will bury you, you Jews, blacks, and Asians. The world is for the white people." And he would say on the radio in Kansas City, "We're going to cleanse our land. We're going to do it with the sword. We're going to do it with violence." And he taught violence. He was proud of it. And he told the listeners to make dossiers on rabbis and league leaders and get these roadblock locations where you can set up ambushes for killing, and he kept arsenals of weapons. Gale came from the Pacific, from Charles Willoughby and Douglas MacArthur's group into California, and became a reverend and got a tax exemption for being a reverend. Well, he kept a stockpile of weapons and was teaching people how to kill, and was part of the identity movement with Reverend Richard Butler, who was at Lockheed working in the aircraft flying in Burbank for Lockheed and became a reverend in the 70s. So this is the milieu around the Philippine group, and Nancy's father was stationed there working with those people. Now, when the war was over, and we jump a few years later, Nancy and Reagan, Ronald Reagan, are married in 1952. 8 years later, a group called Young Americans for Freedom was formed, and you remember I've talked about that, formed by William Buckley, a Knight of Malta, a CIA agent with Douglas Caddy, whose offices, the Mullen Associates, were where the Watergate defendants were arrested. Their money came out of that organization. They're working for the Howard Hughes organization. YAF was formed, and as I've had before, as I say, another broadcast, two of the members of the board, the original board, were Charles Willoughby and Ronald Reagan. So the path of these people crosses, and the reason I get into these matters about Willoughby and Reagan and the Nazification of their mind thinking is then to take the astrologers who are assigned or attached to them to see, in a way that I believe, kept the power off of Reagan to do the things he would do that could actually endanger the world, entire world, during his administration. We'll take just a one-second break, so those of you who have a tape can turn it over. No, you don't have to do that. It's not on the air. I'm going to turn my own tape over, and then we'll continue with the second break.